The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 15, Text Number 21, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshanda Satkikari, recorded on May 19th, 2009, in Sofia, Bulgaria.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto Number 3, Chapter Number 15, Description of the Kingdom of God, Text Number 21. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shri Rupini Kavayati Charanaravindam Lilambujena Harisadmani Mukta Dosha Sanglakshate Spatika Kudja Upecha Hemni Samarjativa Yad Anugrahanena Yantnaha. Translation and Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The ladies in the Vaikuntha planets are as beautiful as the goddess of fortune herself. Such transcendentally beautiful ladies, their hands playing with lotuses and their leg bangles tinkling, are sometimes seen sweeping the marble walls which are bedecked at intervals with golden borders in order to receive the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. In the Brahma Samhita, it is stated that the Supreme Lord Govinda is always served in his abode by many, many millions of goddesses of fortune. Lakshmi Sahasrashata Sambrama Sevyamanam. These millions and trillions of goddesses of fortune who reside in the Vaikuntha planets are not exactly consorts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but are the wives of the devotees of the Lord, and also engage in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is stated here that in the Vaikuntha planets, the houses are made of marble. Similarly, in the Brahma Samhita, it is stated that the ground on the Vaikuntha planets is made of touchstone. Thus, there is no need to sweep the stone in Vaikuntha, for there is hardly any dust on it. But still, in order to satisfy the Lord, the ladies there always engage in dusting the marble walls. Why? The reason is that they are eager to achieve the grace of the Lord by doing so. It is also stated here that in the Vaikuntha planets, the goddesses of fortune are faultless. Generally, the goddess of fortune does not remain steadily in one place. Her name is Chanchala, which means one who is not steady. We find, therefore, that a man who is very rich may become the poorest of the poor. Another example is Ravana. Ravana took away Lakshmi, Sitaji, to his kingdom. Instead of being happy by the grace of Lakshmi, his family and his kingdom were vanquished. Thus, Lakshmi, in the house of Ravana, is Chanchala, or unsteady. Men of Ravana's class want Lakshmi only, without her husband Narayan. Therefore, they become unsteady due to Lakshmiji. Materialistic persons find fault on the part of Lakshmi. But in Vaikuntha, Lakshmiji is fixed in the service of the Lord. In spite of her being the goddess of fortune, she cannot be happy without the grace of the Lord. Even the goddess of fortune needs the Lord's grace in order to be happy. Yet in the material world, even Brahma, the highest created being, seeks the favor of Lakshmi for happiness.
Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Jatā Pada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raguna Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha.
So, there's many nice lessons to be derived from this verse and purport.
Има много хубави уроци, които човек полки, които човек може да извлече от този стих и коментар.
The first point is this. If you clean, you will get the grace of Krishna.
Първото нещо е, че ако вие почиствате, ще получите милостта на Кришна.
By cleaning the temple, you see.
Като почиствате храма.
You get Krishna's mercy.
Получавате милостта на Кришна.
Therefore, the temple should always be spotlessly clean. The altar, the kitchen, the living quarters, everything should be spotlessly clean. All the devotees' paraphernalia, everything should be washed regularly, very nicely clean, you see.
Всичко редовно трябва да се мие и да бъде много чисто.
There is muchi and there is suchi, you see.
Има мучи, има и сучи.
Muchi is dirty and suchi is clean.
Мучи означава мръсно, а сучи означава чисто.
So everything should be very, very suchi, not muchi.
Всичко трябва да е много, много суchi, а не мучи.
Not that we walk into the Brahmachari Ashram and there's a horrible stink, you see. Everything should be very nice and clean. By keeping very, very clean, then we can get the grace of Krishna. The bathroom also, especially, it shouldn't smell like urine when you go in. It should be bathroom should be clean at least once every day. Twice is even better. So by keeping very, very clean, under the fingernails also, no dirt under the fingernails. Keeping very clean, you see. Clean body, clean mind. Cleanliness within and cleanliness without. Brahman means suchi. If one is dirty, they cannot become a Brahman. That is not possible. Brahman must be very, very clean. Actually, Prabhupada said we should be revolutionary clean. What does that mean to be revolutionary clean? The only thing I could ever figure out was you're so clean that your cleanliness creates a revolution.
Мисля от нещо, за което аз мога да се сетя, че вие трябва да се толкова чисти, че самата ви чистота да създава революция.
So that is one lesson we derived here. The more you clean the temple, the more you clean your heart. It is also sometimes said, cooking means cleaning. Not that you go into the kitchen, you're cooking in a rajasic mood, you know, everything leaving dirt, everything dirty and messy everywhere. Cooking up a storm, but everything dirty and messy everywhere. While you're cooking, you should be cleaning at the same time. It should remain clean while you're cooking. So when you're done cooking, the kitchen is already clean, because as you've been cooking, you've been cleaning at the same time. Not that the kitchen is a disaster area after the feast has been cooked. Like a tornado came through the kitchen, you know. Everything's helter-skelter. It should be very, very clean, you see. Sometimes when we travel and preach all over the world, we see temple kitchens, which is absolute nightmare. You see, we can never become Brahmins if we have dirty kitchens. This is sometimes called the kitchen religion, you see. So a dirty kitchen, that is adharmic. This is serious business, actually. Because if we are dirty externally, it means we're dirty internally also. We have six kinds of dirt sitting in our heart. Kama, lobha, krodha, mada, moha, matsarya. Lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. These six kinds of dirt are sitting in the heart. So if we are dirty externally, then it's for sure we have these dirt sitting in our heart also. So therefore we should always be very, very clean. Sometimes we see the karmis, they keep themselves more neat and more clean than the devotees. We've seen many times. So this is not a very good thing. We should be the most clean people on this planet. Everything about us should be very neat and clean. In the second paragraph, Srila Prabhupada is talking about the goddess of fortune. She is called Chanchala, one who is not steady. And that means, with Narayan, she is very steady. She is always situated at his lotus feet. But with those who are envious of Narayan, the karmis, the asuras, she is very unsteady. She will not remain. Just like we see there are so many empires in the history of the world. And there's the Greek Empire. So for some time, Lakshmiji blessed them, you see. But then she went away. Their empire was defeated. Then the Roman Empire came for some time. Lakshmiji blessed them with opulence. But that empire was also defeated. That the Lakshmiji left them. So the Spanish Empire came. It went away also. The French also became predominant under Napoleon, and he was defeated. And the British came up. They were defeated. Hitler made his big thrust for some time. He was conquering all of Europe, and then he was defeated. Now the USA has come up, but they will also be defeated. Unless they embrace this Krishna consciousness movement. So every empire will be defeated. The Vedic Empire went on for millions and millions of years, undefeated. Because they held to the principles of Dharma. It is only after Adharma polluted the Vedic kingdom that the Vedic kingdom was defeated. When that boy Sringi cursed Maharaj Parikshit, that was the end of the Vedic kingdom. That's when Lakshmiji gave up blessing the Vedic kingdom. So everyone wants money, isn't it? Isn't it a fact that everybody wants money? But the problem is they don't want Narayan. They want Lakshmi, but they do not want Narayan. With such a mentality, according to past pious activities, one may have Lakshmi for some time. But when one exhausts one's stock of pious karma, then Lakshmi goes away. But if you engage your Lakshmi in the service of Krishna, then Lakshmi never goes away. This is why those people who are intelligent, they regularly contribute money to the ISKCON. By regularly giving money to support Prabhupada's movement, Krishna will see, oh, he's spending his money for Prabhupada's movement. So let me give him more money and more money and more money, you see. So you can engage more and more money in the service of Prabhupada's movement. It's a very intelligent thing, you see, to give money to support Prabhupada's movement. You may think, well, I can't afford it, so I'm not going to give anything. You know, the Christians, they have a policy to give every Christian, at least in America, I don't know about here, but they give 10% of their income automatically, without any question. Every paycheck, 10% immediately goes to the church. Prabhupada was more strict. He said 50% they must give. So At least we should give something if we can't afford 50%. At least we should come to the Christian standard and give 10%.
You
see, we shouldn't be greedy with our money. We should give our money liberally to support Prabhupada's movement. In this way, if we everyone chips in and gives their share, then this movement will become very, very more and more successful. Just like in America, these Christians, they're all giving their 10%. The churches, they have amazing properties and churches and all kinds of missionary activities going on all over the world. It's amazing because they pour their money into the church, you see. So we shouldn't think, well, I don't want to do that because then I'll have less money. I want to hold on to every penny or whatever you call it here in Bulgaria. In America we call that a penny pincher. Is it greedy? We should not be greedy. Because if you're greedy, then Lakshmiji will become chanchala. She'll be unsteady. But if you're very liberal in giving to support Prabhupada's mission, then you will be amazed how you get more money and more money and more money and more money and more money. Someone will not be the loser by giving as much money as possible to support this movement. He will be happy in this world and happy in the next world. So I can ask now if there's any questions.
He says, I have seen devotees who are coming to the movement and they start rendering service. They're sincere, they're doing it nicely, but then their material condition improves. They start getting money and they build houses or something like this, and then they go away.
That means they were coming to Krishna for money, that's what it means.
That means that their motive for coming to Krishna was for money.
Chaturved hab jante mang jana sukriti narjana atau jigyasir artarti gyanicha bratarshiva. Four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me: the distressed, the desire of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is seeking knowledge of the Absolute.
Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that four kinds of blessed personalities start to give service: those who are suffering, those who have need of money, които търсят знание, а любопитните и тези, които се опитват да разберат абсолютната истина.
So that is considered pious, even though they came to Krishna for money.
Това се счита за благочестиво, дори затова са дошли за пари при Кришна.
But the problem is, if that's the only reason you're coming to Krishna, then as soon as you give your money, you will lose interest in Krishna.
Но това е проблема. Ако това е единствената причина, поради която си дошъл при Кришна, щом получиш парите, губиш интерес към Кришна.
That's big problema, you see. That I just come for the money. Because what your money will do for you at the time of death? Can you buy your way into the spiritual world? Remember that joke? About the man who gave $5 in church. Yeah, it didn't work, did it? A very sinful man, he went to the church one Sunday and he put $5 in the collection plate. And he thought, oh, now my going to heaven is guaranteed. So the time of death, the Yamadutas, they were dragging him to hell. He said, you can't do this. I gave $5 in the collection plate at church. So they didn't know what to do. They took him to the gate of the spiritual world. And they said, wait here, we'll go ask God what to do. So they came back from speaking with God and they had that $5 bill in their hand. He said, what did God say? He said, they said, well, God said, give him his $5 back and tell him to go to hell. So, simply getting some money, you see. And then giving also, that it will not save you. And then giving a little token back to God, that will also not save you. One has to fully give themselves to the Lord. Complete, total surrender, you see. Otherwise, you will not be happy, you will not be satisfied. Money will never make one happy. Actually, we've seen the more they have money, the more they're in anxiety. There was one multi-millionaire who used to come to our temple in Houston. He came and he would arrive in a stretched limousine. The driver with a little cap, you know, sitting there, he had a driver. And he would come in for the darshan. And he told me, actually, he was carrying a gun inside his, you know, he had a holster inside his suit coat with the gun, you see. Because he was in constant fear of being kidnapped. You see, they sometimes kidnap the rich people and they demand ransom money. So I could see, even though he has come to the temple in a limousine, he's so wealthy, man, you see. But he's living in constant anxiety. So what is the good of all this wealth, you see, if he's fearful? A devotee is happy in any condition. He can be rich, he can be poor, he can be in the middle, it doesn't matter. He simply engages everything in the service of Krishna. In this way he becomes completely peaceful. So, are there any more questions?
Yeah. I have heard that Lakshmiji does not go wherever there is misunderstandings between people.
She may go temporarily, but she won't stay. Just like in that household where the husband and wife are constantly quarreling, you see, Lakshmi will not stay.
Mm-hmm.
But in that household where the husband and wife get along very peacefully, Lakshmi will stay. She'll stay longer. And if they're devotees, she'll stay permanently. The more there is quarrel, the more less there will be Lakshmi. So if a husband and wife want to have some money, they shouldn't fight. The more they fight, the more they'll be in poverty. The more they cooperate, the more they'll have Lakshmi. And if they both become devotees, of pure devotees of Krishna, they'll have unlimited Lakshmi. You see how practical is Krishna consciousness. Next question. Yeah.
You mentioned about the six enemies, and one of them is madness. What do we have to understand? What is this madness? There's some.
If you think you're God, you're mad. If you think you're the center of enjoyment, you're mad. Madness is simply the extreme position of illusion. Illusion is one thing, but then illusion becomes extreme illusion. That is called madness. Very, very illusion, that is madness. Prabhupada said that madness is the sum total of all stupidities. So you take up all the illusions, you see, and you combine them into one pot, that is called madness. I am this body, that's an illusion. I am the enjoyer, that's an illusion. I am great, that's an illusion. I am man, that's an illusion. I am woman, I am Bulgarian. All these illusions, and you take all the illusions and you put them all into one big lump, that's called madness. So, all the illusions combined, that is madness. I mean, you look at them individually, then they are various illusions. But you look at them as one lump total, that is madness. So the aggregate of all the illusions, the madness, that must be eliminated, and each and every individual illusion must also be eliminated. In other words, you should work on them individually and collectively to get rid of them. Individually, you can fight these illusions by philosophical knowledge. And collectively, you can fight them by bhakti. By that one stroke, you see, like the blacksmith. The silversmith, he is tapping all day on that silver. Tap, 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 tap. To make that silver piece very perfect,
Той работи много фино, опитва се да направи това сребърно.
But the blacksmith, he doesn't tap all day.
Но ковачът, който кове желязото.
Кавам, one stroke finished, you see.
Той прави това само с един удар, не цял ден.
So just by that one stroke of surrendering to Krishna, you can completely wipe out the madness. And then when the madness is gone, all the illusions will be gone too. Any other question? Does that answer your question?
She also meant this condition, the psychological condition of madness. There are some people who are psychologically unstable.
Are there anybody who is not mad on this planet? That's my question.
Моя въпрос, има ли някой, който да не е луд на тази планета?
Those who are extremely mad we call mad, and those who are slightly mad we call them sane, you see.
Тези, които са много изключително луди, ние ги наричаме луди, а тези, които не са толкова луди, ги наричаме
луди. That is our illusion.
Но това е нашата илюзия.
Actually, everyone is mad.
Всъщност всички тук са луди.
They even had a movie called like that. It's a mad, 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 mad world.
Дори има един такъв филм, който се казва, това е един луд, луд свят.
Who is not mad? Everyone is a madman. Even the psychiatrists, they are madmen.
You see?
Everyone's crazy. They think they're the body. They think they're the center of the enjoyment. Yes, those who are extreme cases, yes, who are psychotic, schizophrenic, etc. Yes, they are called mad by the general society. And we accept, yes, they are men. But the reality is, everyone is men. Only the pure devotee, he is completely psychologically healed. The neophyte devotees, they are recovering from madness. Pure devotee, he is completely free from madness. So you can't say, well, some people are mad and some people aren't. The whole world, everyone is mad. They're all insane. Prabhupada confirmed this point. He gave the example of one time in the courtroom in India. The lawyer was trying, his client was guilty of murder. So he was trying to save the client from being put to death. So he argued to the judge, Your Honor, my client actually he is insane, so you kindly excuse him on the grounds of insanity. So they brought in a psychiatrist to determine if the client was mad or not mad. And the psychiatrist testified in the courtroom that so far I have seen everyone in the whole world as a madman. So if you would like to excuse this man on the basis of insanity, then you can do that. But according to my vision as a psychiatrist, I can see that everyone is a madman. See, it is the madman who say that some men are mad and some men are sane. That is the vision of madmen. You should know it, that everyone is a madman. Any other? Does that answer your question?
Is it the false ego that makes us think that we are normal and the others are?
Yes. One thinks, yes, I am a very sane person.
Da, човек си мисли, аз съм много трезво мислещ човек, нормален.
That's their false ego, yes. Any other question? Yeah.
He said that even Prabhupada admitted that, for example, schizophrenia is caused by some, you know, ghosts entering the body and some creatures like this.
Yeah.
And so, could you explain more about this? How is it?
Yeah, sometimes people become haunted by ghostly haunted, yes. That is extreme madness, yes.
Да, понякога хората биват обсебени от духове, това е изключителна лудост.
But is not everyone haunted by the ghost of Maya? Huh? Is not everyone haunted by the ghost of Maya? Everyone is haunted by Maya. So yes, there are ghostly haunted. They are extremely mad. There is no doubt. But everyone is haunted by Maya ghost. That's a fact.
His question was rather how this works.
Oh, if someone is very weak minded person, they have no control over their mind. Then a ghost can take over them, can enter into their, can take control of them actually. They become ghostly haunted. The ghost manipulates them. The ghost, you see, has no gross body. But still he has the gross desires. Just imagine if you had a very bad itch, you wouldn't need to scratch yourself, you see. But you had no hand to scratch yourself with. That is ghost, you see. They have the gross desire, but they have no means of fulfilling their gross desire. So it's a very, very hellish thing to be a ghost. So they try to get some satisfaction by taking over the body of a weak-minded person. In that way, they try to get some sense gratification through that person's body. But it doesn't really work because it's not really their body, it's somebody else's body. So it's frustrating for the person who's haunted, and it's also very frustrating for the ghost as well. Sometimes even devotees are attacked by ghosts. When you're sleeping, sometimes it happens, a ghost will try to enter into your body. You ever had a feeling like somebody was there and you wanted to say something, but you couldn't? You wanted to speak out and say something, but you couldn't do it? That means a ghost is trying to take, is attacking you. So the thing to do is just muster up all your strength and go, Hare Krishna! And that ghost will go running as fast as he can in the opposite direction. They can't stand the holy names.
духовете не могат да понасят звука от святото име.
Възникна ми още един въпрос последните няколко изречения. Също така съм чувал, че не знам точно, не чисто повторение на, на святото име.
Не, не чисто.
Да, в смисъл мръсно. Замърсено. Повторение на святото име привлича духове. Беше едно нещо, което ми възникна, и другото нещо беше. Това е единично повторение на Хара Кришна е при опита, може да склоним духовете само при опита да влезем в тялото. Обаче, това е въпросът, се запустил така. Обаче, ако вече се е целил вътре, ако вече се е загнездил, е по-трудно, защото виждаме примери, как, нали, предно дадем и Тарат Хара Кришна, обаче нещо си се...
So two questions come to his mind while you're speaking about this, and first thing is he has heard that impure chanting actually attracts ghosts. One thing he has heard, and the second.
I have not heard that impure chanting attracts ghosts. You heard that? Where did you hear that?
Unclean people attracts the ghosts.
Huh? Uncleanliness, but impure but chanting in any form, the holy name in any form has potency. You have to give me some authoritative reference in Prabhupada's books I've never read. Impure chanting attracts ghosts. I'd like to see the authoritative reference. That doesn't make sense to me. Uncleanliness attracts ghosts. You keep your ashram very dirty and your everything very filthy. Dirty bedding, dirty clothes, dirty brahmachari ashram, brahmachrini ashram, dirty grahastha ashram. And then the ghosts will be very attracted, yes. But the holy name is very powerful, even in, chanted by an impure person. It has great power.
But it is also said that the milk touched by the poisonous lips of a serpent becomes poisonous.
Yeah, but a neophyte devotee is not a serpent. That refers to the Mayavadis. Who are chanting Hare Krishna thinking that they are Krishna. And they want to merge and become one. By the the power of the mantra, they want to merge into Brahman. Their philosophy is that they can chant Hare Krishna, and by doing that, they can become Krishna. Their chanting is poison. Not the chanting of neophytes. If the chanting of neophytes is poison, why do we allow the neophyte devotees to lead kirtan here in ISKCON? We could only Prabhupada be allowed to lead kirtan. Nobody else. And nobody else could respond. All we could do is be quiet and hear Prabhupada's chanting, and no one else can even say a word because we're all impure. Now, a neophyte devotee who's trying to awaken his Krishna consciousness, his chanting is also pure. It's not 100% pure, but it is pure. It's partially pure. Just like if somebody is in the shower, scrubbing himself, cleaning off the dirt, would you call him a dirty man or a clean person? He's in the shower scrubbing and rubbing. You say, oh, he's so dirty. He may be filthy. He was working on a car the whole day. He has grease all over his body, you see. Would you say he's a dirty man? He's in there scrubbing away, you know. Haribo, 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 Haribo. No, he's very clean. Even though he has dirt all over his body, he's scrubbing it off now, you see. So even the neophyte who's trying to become pure, he has accepted as pure. Because he is in the process of purification. So his chanting is not poisonous. Prabhupada very much appreciated the chanting of his devotees. He even said that when he heard Vishnu Jana Maharaj's chanting, he says, his chanting carried me to Vaikuntha. So, there's no question. Anyone is sincerely trying to serve Prabhupada's mission, their chanting is glorious. Just because they're not a Mahabhagavad yet doesn't mean we can't hear their kirtan. Prabhupada very much relished to hear the kirtan of his neophyte disciples. When your child is learning how to talk, will you become disturbed that, oh, your Bulgarian grammar is not correct? So better shut up and don't say anything. No. It is a child talking. So it is very attractive, actually. The child is trying to talk, making her stubborn, crude attempt to speak something, you see. So, Krishna, he sees, oh, these are my children, they're trying to learn how to chant. He very much appreciates and relishes the chanting of his neophyte devotees. Just like the parent appreciates the crude attempts of the young baby to talk. We are Krishna's babies after all, you see. And we're trying to learn how to chant. We're trying to learn how to walk, everything. We're stumbling, bumbling fools, you see. But Krishna appreciates, oh, they're trying to become my devotees. He relishes the chanting of the neophyte. But the Mayavadis, no. Yes, I am Krishna, you are Krishna, we are all Krishna, now let's have a kirtan. And we'll merge into Brahman. Yes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Now that kirtan, that is not appreciated by Krishna. Even it may be very musically pleasing. In America now, we have Mayavadi kirtaniyas who chant Hare Krishna. And they're very popular. They're considered, they do a circuit of all the yoga centers. There's actually, his name is Krishna Das. He's a very, very popular kirtan singer. He has thousands of fans and he sells many CDs. He is Mayavad. But he is making friends now. Some of our devotees are preaching to him and trying to make him Krishna conscious, really Krishna conscious. So I don't know, maybe he has given up Mayavadi philosophy by now, but I know previously he was Mayavadi. Staunch Mayavadi. Hopefully, some of the devotees are preaching to him, trying to bring him to full Vaishnav consciousness. If they can do that, it'll be a great victory for our movement. But someone who is espousing Mayavadi philosophy, their kirtan should be avoided. Even it may be very, very nice with nice sitar and tabla and everything, very professional and very attractive. It's just like a woman to be very beautiful, you see. Prostitute. But by her association, one becomes degraded, you see. So kirtan from Mayavadi, maybe it's like that, like beautiful prostitute. Very attractive and very deadly. We should only hear from the Vaishnavas kirtan. There was one follower of Lord Chaitanya, Mukunda Dutt. You know that Mukunda Dutt, yes? Yeah. He was going for the kirtan with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and also with the Mayavadis. So Lord Chaitanya heard, oh, he is going to have kirtan with the Mayavadis? He is banned from my association. Tell him he can never come to see me ever again. He's banned. So Mukunda Dutt was devastated. Frankly, he was leaving his body. He was in so much devastation. So the devotees, they were begging Lord Chaitanya, please, Lord, he's almost leaving his body. Please let him come back. Lord Chaitanya said, I will not allow him back to my association for 1,000,000 lifetimes. Devotees were completely devastated. So they went and they told Mukunda Dutt. He said, you will not be allowed back for 1,000,000 lifetimes. Mukunda Dutt said, 1,000,000 lifetimes. He will save me. He will save me. Arrivo! Arrivo! He started dancing in ecstasy. In 1,000,000 lifetimes, I will be allowed back to see Lord Chaitanya. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So they told Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya, he's dancing in ecstasy. Because he heard that in 1,000,000 lifetimes he'll be allowed back to your association. Then Lord Chaitanya said, let him come back now then. So anyway, we should not chant with the Mayavadis, you see. These yoga ashram people who are Mayavadis, they like this kirtan now. It's becoming very popular with the yogis. Of course, we can go there and chant. That's very good for them. Yeah. Well, it's actually, to be honest with you, it's both. Krishna's name is all attractive, that's a fact. You can't deny it. I mean, I know for a fact, I used to be a Mayavadi myself. And I was very attracted to Krishna's name. And the hodgepodge both. The name itself is attractive, there's no doubt.
Isn't it, if anyone is really attracted to Krishna's name, then they can become a devotee?
If you, well, you, you're saying really attractive. We have to have a translation going on here now.
Ако човек е наистина привлечен към името на Кришна, не значи ли, че като го повтаря, той ще стане предан?
But I would suggest we say, instead of saying really attractive, we say fully attracted. That's why I suggest we say it in that way.
Но аз предлагам вместо да кажем наистина привлечен, да кажем напълно привлечен. По-добре така да кажем.
Because I would not say, I would say yes, they are also really attracted.
Аз бих казал, да, те наистина са привлечени.
But it's mixed.
Но има смесица.
It's not full attraction, it's partial attraction. They are really attracted to Krishna's name, and they're really attracted to the idea of being God also, both them. But they are not, it's not full attraction. It's a mix.
The person you name, he also chants demigod's name more, and they are attracted to that too.
What's he saying?
She said that this person Krishna does, he also chants the names of the demigods. And they are,
yes, that's right. He chants, actually I've heard, he chants Durga with more feeling than he chants Krishna. He puts more of his heart into Durga Ma than into Krishna. That's, I've heard in his, so, yeah, they chant all the mantras, you see. And they can go on for hours and hours and hours, kirtan, 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 for hours. People pay $15 to go and chant the kirtan with them. Maybe $50, huge. They can fill a whole auditorium, you see. And people pay big money to go and chant kirtan with them. He's very, very popular. It's amazing. He's become a superstar by doing kirtan. In America, Australia, all over the world, he's a very big name now. But he's not Krishna conscious. He criticizes the Hare Krishna movement. He wants people to definitely know he has nothing to do with this guy. He says negative things against our movement. We're supposed to have a greeting. I don't know what how we do. They're waiting for the class to end. I was Purusha Chitta Prabhu. He's upstairs. Okay. Anybody else? So go ahead. Yeah.
He didn't know that this Krishna Das is an impersonalist, and he listened to one kirtan he's performing with another famous singer, Stink. So he's saying, can we use their melodies?
Yeah, you can use their melody, no harm. He's got some good tunes.
She said that then we will remember him.
Not if he don't tell us it's his melody. That's all. We won't know. But if you chant that melody with us long enough, you'll forget about him eventually. But actually, our Indra has better melodies. You can get your melodies from our Indra. He has much better melodies.
She's asking whether we can drink some water or tea while we are chanting Hare Krishna. And is the green tea allowed? Green tea, is it allowed?
Tea that has caffeine is strictly prohibited.
кофеин е строго забранен.
You can take all varieties of herbal teas, but the ones that have caffeine, the green tea has the caffeine.
Зеления чай има кофеин. Другите, които са билкови чаи, за всякакви видове може човек да приема.
See, that caffeine is not good for the health.
Защото кофеина не е добър за здравето.
It artificially stimulates your adrenaline gland. And wears out your adrenaline gland. So that when you need, in time of danger, when you actually need adrenaline, your adrenaline gland won't be able to provide it because it's been worn out by the tea. So instead of artificially stimulating yourself by drinking caffeinated beverages like green tea, coffee, or Coca-Cola, you should learn how to stimulate yourself by chanting Hare Krishna. Get your energy from the mantra, you see. The mantra has unlimited energy. So if you dive deeply into Hare Krishna mantra, then you can get unlimited energy. I personally don't like to drink do anything for my senses while I'm chanting Hare Krishna. If your mouth gets dry though, you could certainly take some water if you need to. There's no harm. But generally, our chanting is soft. It doesn't put much strain on the throat. So generally, we wouldn't need to. But if you feel that need, there's no harm. But generally, devotees don't need to drink water while they're chanting their japa. There's no rule against it. But generally it's not done because it's not necessary. If you have a need to do that, there is no harm to drink some water. No harm. So, now is our time. It's just a miscommunication. I was just waiting for him. He was waiting for me. Okay, it was a misunderstanding. All right, tomorrow we'll know. We can... Okay, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.